You're listening to Muse Live. Anytime, any place, any show. Featuring the one and only Muse.
Thanks for tuning in to Muse Live. I'm your host, Thomas Hunt. And today, it is officially our 20th episode of Muse Live. It does not feel like it's been 20 episodes, but we are officially 20 episodes in. To some of you, it may feel like more, it may feel like less, but we are here, 20 episodes. Woohoo! Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. We've had a lot of listeners, a lot more than I ever expected we would. It's an honor to get to do this podcast, and it's an honor that you guys all tune in and spend a part of your days or nights, listening, while you're, exercising or going on a bike ride, or maybe shortly after watching the episode or the movie. It's an honor to be here. So today we are reviewing Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, which, wow. I did not expect it to be as good as it was. I was hoping it would be very good. I went into this with, I haven't gone into many films of MCU Phase 4 with, this is the second, third one, kind of Far From Home. I went to Far From Home with high expectations, and those were fulfilled. I haven't gone into any film besides Far From Home, of Phase 4 with high expectations. This definitely blew it out of the park for me. I was a big fan of this movie. Visuals were beautiful. This was an amazing movie. The characters were great. The story was super good. Sucked you right into the story. It was, some people were saying it was a better Mortal Kombat than the Mortal Kombat movie that came out recently. I know nothing about Mortal Kombat, to be perfectly honest, but, all sorts of elemental manipulation, and it was just visually beautiful and stunning. Amazing movie. It's definitely not going into my favorite of the MCU, but it is definitely it gives me hope for Phase 4 again, because Black Widow was good. It was an average run of the mill MCU movie. Shang-Chi, I think, is a notch above that. Shang-Chi. I'm pretty sure it's Shang-Chi, actually, come to think of it. So apologies for mispronouncing it. Shang-Chi, The Legend of the Ten Rings, was very good. I was glad to see. I don't know if I was glad to see. I have a better choice of words than that. It was funny to see. I think it was Ben Kingsley. Excuse me if I got that wrong, but the actor for Trevor something, from Iron Man 3. And the All Hail the King short that did come out on Disney Plus shortly before the movie released. It was very fun to see him back. And just the overall feel of the movie was different from anything we've felt in the MCU so far. I haven't been able to find many plot holes, which is rare with movies like this. I've been able to find like one or two. But not as many as I was able to find with Black Widow, I wasn't able to find any in Far From Home either. And the ones that I found in Shang-Chi I don't think they even really count as plot holes. It's refreshing to find after the events of the WandaVision finale and the Falcon and the Winter Soldier series. It's refreshing to have something. really good for a change. And this gave me hope for Marvel again. I was a little bit skeptical of it when the trailer first released. It just kind of looked like a martial arts movie with a little bit of extra flair. It didn't really look, I wasn't super excited about it, but it is. I've said this way too much for 5 minutes in, all I've said so far is it's good, it's super good, it's very good. I just keep repeating that, but it was, it was amazing. Shang-Chi follows, believe it or not, Shang-Chi, as he is called back into his old life of the Ten Rings, led by his father, who thousands, I'm not sure how many thousands of years old he is, but he's a warlord from a while ago, and who possesses the Ten Rings, which makes the wearer immortal, and you have pretty much, you're pretty much unkillable. Excuse me, I need to take a sip. I'm only 6 minutes in, already my voice is hoarse. Alrighty, it follows Shang-Chi as he's called back into that life that he escaped when he was 13, shortly after he was sent on his, immediately after he was sent on his first hit, to take out the men who killed his mother. He escaped to the United States, and basically ran for the past, I think it was 10 years. 10 years? 10, yeah, I think you, I'm pretty sure it's 10 years, and where he ran for the past 10 years and was successful in escaping the life that he'd left behind. The interesting, where he befriends his friend Katie, and they work as valets for a hotel. I forget the name of the hotel. I don't know if they ever said the name of the hotel. They work as valets, long story short. So, and one day he's attacked on the subway by a dude with a razor for a fist, which is a little bit overkill, if you ask me. And he has the brilliant name of Razor Fist. Rocket would approve. Taser Face, Razor Fist, same thing. Anyway, so the choreography in this movie is amazing. The martial arts was great. Comedy was great. Visual effects were stunning. I can't quite express why it was so different, but there was something in it that was different, that was, it didn't feel quite like a Marvel movie. It had more of a, it has a lot of its roots in Asian culture, which is, I mean, very, very, very obvious the overall plot of the, okay, focus. So I can go on and on gushing about how great the movie is, mm-hmm. and the choreography, the visuals, and the music and the score and everything. It was great. Also, Hotel California played a big part in that, which was pretty darn good song. What was I? I'm getting off track just thinking about this movie. Okay, so I can't do justice to this movie with my words. You need to definitely go see the movie. Huge massive spoiler warning, of course. I would recommend, for those of you who are on the fence about seeing this movie because it doesn't look like a traditional Marvel movie, or you're just not really, you think it ended with Endgame, which I was agreeing with for a while, but if you don't really want to watch this movie, or you're hesitant, you're on the fence, get off the fence. I would go and see this movie, or watch it on Disney Plus, if you can watch it there, or find a way to watch this movie, because it is worth it. And I went into this a little bit skeptical. I didn't have high expectations. It's definitely worth it. It's definitely worth watching. So I would watch it. From this point on, I'm going to assume that you've seen the movie. So we're going to get into some spoilers here. I'm going to spoil the entire movie and go through recap the movie. So just be warned. So Shang-Chi is called back after he's attacked by Scepter Razor for Fist, eloquently named Razor Fist, and they're on a bus and weaving through San Francisco. The bus gets cut in half. He flings Razor. I almost called him Taserface. Razor Fist off, sending him flying. And they successfully escape and survive, which is always an added bonus. And then they promptly book a flight to his sister's location, because she sends him a postcard with, I believe, with the location to the building of an underground fight tournament. Which they fly to, and on the flight, they talk about Shang-Chi's past, and how he tried to hide by changing his name from Shang-Chi to Sean, which is the name that Katie knew him by, and they talk for a little bit about how it's not a very good disguise. So they talk about his past a little bit, and we discover that his mother was killed by a group of, first off, his father's a warlord from, like, the 15th century? I don't actually know when he was from, but he was around for thousands and thousands of years. Waged a lot of wars, and then one day he goes to conquer this magical land of Ta-Lo that he's heard rumors and myths about, and they go into this bamboo forest where he enters Ta-Lo, or the entrance to Ta-Lo, and he wages battle with his later to be wife, and the, I know I'm saying this a lot, the choreography was so good. It was very obviously a fight, but at the same time it felt almost like a dance. The movements, the way that she fought with, I can't even explain it. It was so slow and rhythmic at the same time, while his Shang-Chi's father was, you know, trying to smash her head with the Ten Rings. So he was had like erratic movements, while hers were smooth and flowing, and everything was, it was just very pleasing to the eye. You know, it was beautiful. It was beautiful, and the way she was fighting almost seemed like a dance, while he was, he ended up losing. He was more of a, he was trying to decimate her. Anyway, so she ends up winning, sending him flying into a little pond of water where he gets all wet. Then they fall in love, basically, after, you know, trying to kill each other. And, they agree to start a family. She gives up her immortality at Ta-Lo for her life with him. He gives up his own immortality with the Ten Rings, puts him in a box, doesn't touch him. They go off and live in their own little a little nice little place. I have two kids, Shang-Chi and his sister. And they have a happy, happy life. And then Shang-Chi is about, I don't know, 6 or 7, I want to say. Don't exactly know the year, but I would say he's about 6 or 7. A bunch of people from his father's past, as a warlord, come by seeking revenge, and end up, when they find out that his father isn't there, they end up killing the mother instead, because someone has to pay the price, apparently. And that someone is his mother. She dies. Shang-Chi's father comes back to find her dead. And Shang-Chi, over her body, as is customary with children losing their parents. I don't know what I'm saying. So he comes back, and then he gets the 10 rings out of the case, puts them back on, going back to the life that he wasn't going to go back to, hunts down the guys who killed his wife, and Shang-Chi's mother, takes Shang-Chi with him, and then massacres them brutally. It's off camera, but there's some head exploding going on, right in front of, 6, 7-year-old Shang-Chi, which is enough to traumatize a child for life. That's not the end of it, because after that's over, then he restarts the 10 rings, has basically trains Shang-Chi to become an assassin, and goes through a series of brutal training things, being hit with sticks, taught martial arts, beating, kicking, punching a wooden pole until his fists are bloody, and just some seriously messed up stuff. So, essentially, Shang-Chi becomes a pretty formidable warrior. Over time, he turns 13, and he's sent on his first hit. For those of you who don't know what a hit is, essentially it's a mission to go kill somebody. And that kind of proves yourself. And so Shang-Chi goes out, and the person that the hit is on is the one guy left who killed his mother, of the group. Shang-Chi, and his father saved that guy, poor Shang-Chi, so that Shang-Chi could have the honor of killing him. Because who doesn't want to send your 13-year-old son on a hit after training him to be an assassin after his mother died? He's not the he's not winning any Father of the Year awards, I'm gonna be honest. So Shang-Chi kills the guy, murders him. And then he runs away, meets Katie. We've already kind of gone over that part, and now we're back to where we started. They're on the airplane, and they're flying to the coordinations that Shang-Chi's sister gave him. Now, Shang-Chi's sister, throughout the whole thing, she was learning to fight by watching them and taught herself basically how to fight. It's not quite entirely realistic. You would have to have some... Couldn't just be training just from seeing. You would have to have a little bit of interaction. Not a lot, but just a little bit. But I'm not going to be complaining about that. So she's a very formidable fighter, too. And I can be complaining about more action scenes. Anyway. So he goes to this building, these coordinates, and essentially it's a giant fighting tournament. So he's looking for his sister. This guy who's organizing the competition basically lets him know that it's an underground fighting tournament, and Shang-Chi has become famous for fighting the guys on the bus, and he's known as the bus guy, the bus boy. Because he went viral on YouTube, I think it was YouTube. I think they said YouTube. I'm pretty sure they said YouTube. Anyway, he went viral. And so he was famous for beating up the guys in the bus and saving everyone on there. Because one of the guys on there was a cameo from a guy who also cameoed in Spider-Man Homecoming. Comedian, he was filming. It was very funny. He was talking about how he'd done martial arts so he can try and grade the fight as it went by. Meanwhile, there was some seriously amazing martial arts fighting going on. So Shang-Chi is introduced to this fighting tournament, and basically he's told that he's going to have to fight in the top ring. He basically gets sucked into it, and he doesn't know where sister is. It turns out his sister is the one that he's fighting in the cage match. But before they fight, we do see Wong, Benedict Wong, Doctor Strange's best friend, partner, not romantic partner anyway, but like partner in like teammate. You know what I'm saying? Benedict Wong versus Abomination, which is huge. Abomination is from the Ed Norton Hulk movie, which I actually really liked. I actually really liked that movie. The visual effects were not the best, but I liked the movie. Definitely prefer Ed Norton Hulk to Mark Ruffalo Hulk. I'm not a fan of Mark Ruffalo. Don't know if Ed Norton would have spoiled Infinity. I'm just point that out. Anyway, I just think Mark Ruffalo's kind of an idiot. That's just my take. Not a big fan of him. Well, not kind of. He is an idiot. Anyway. So this is Wong versus Abomination fight. Wong ends up knocking out Abomination with his portals. And Abomination goes to punch Wong. Wong uses a portal. Abomination's own punch goes through and ends up hitting him, punching him in the face, and knocking himself out. So Wong wins that. And then the next fight is Shang-Chi versus dun-dun-dun, his sister. And it turns out his sister promptly lays him out. Because, I mean, number one, he's not trying to seriously hurt her. She's trying to seriously hurt him because she's upset that he left her when he escaped. And so she's got some issues from that. And he's just kind of confused about the whole thing. I don't think it was exactly a fair fight, but I'm not really complaining. It was fun to see nonetheless. And originally I had thought the movie was going to be like a one big fighting tournament movie, which would have been fun to see. It did not turn out that way, but there are rumors that maybe Shang-Chi 2 might be that way. And I mean, it's all but confirmed that there's going to be Shang-Chi 2. It was incredibly popular. There's got to be, I mean, there's going to be Shang-Chi 2. We'll be kidding. Anyway. So she ends up laying out Shang-Chi. He's down on the ground. She wins that match. So they all go back, and they all go in the back, and it's revealed that all the fights are staged. All the people who were fighting in the cages earlier are actually all friends, and they're all, it's kind of like an, anyway, it was all staged, and all the fights that were having betting on, and having people bet on, and the underground fights, they're all staged. Wong and Abomination are friends of some kind. They're kind of friends. Wong leads Abomination back into some holding cell place that's unknown. Anyway, leads him into there. And Shang-Chi learns why his sister's so mad at him because he left her, and they catch up a little bit. So it's a nice little family reunion, but not for long. I'm gonna take a quick break right here to plug our sponsor. And we'll be right back after this ad break. And we are back. Thanks for listening to that really quickly means a lot, helps out a bunch. So when it comes to family reunions, this one's a little bit messed up. They've all got some issues, clearly. And it just so happens to have horrible timing because as it's really kicking into gear, the Ten Rings attack. And fleets of their father's ninjas? His soldiers come in, swarm in, and attacking everybody. Basically destroying her operation that she had going, and they all get captured. Long story short, there's an awesome fight out on the scaffolding. I do not have a head for heights. I would be freaking out. But there's an awesome fight there. All of the fights in this movie are awesome. They're really well choreographed. I need to stop saying that, but it's good. So they're all taken to their father, and their father lets them know that apparently their mother's soul is trapped in this place in Talo. They have to go there and save her. That he was sitting there one day, and the spirit, and their mother, his wife, and the spirit of Shang-Chi's mother was calling out to him to free her from where she was trapped in Talo. And long story short, they don't believe him. Shang-Chi and his sister don't believe their father. It sounds pretty far-fetched. Also, Katie is brought along, so Katie is there too. Katie is Shang-Chi's best friend, by the way, that he met in San Francisco. She's just kind of along for the ride for all this. Their dad shows them this map with a really cool floating water chamber. I don't know how to explain it. It's very cool. Looks very cool visually. Did I mention this movie has very cool visual effects? Anyway, so essentially they're led downstairs to meet where they meet Trevor Slattery. I'm pretty sure it's Trevor Slattery, and he returns played by Ben Kingsley, I think. And there's this little creature, we're going to call him, this little creature called Morris. He has no face. It's very strange. Anyway, he's a cute little plush ball. Trevor does his thing. Trevor is Trevor. We've all seen him. He's comedic relief. So there's some comedic relief, and then they all figure out a way. They don't all figure out a way. While Shang-Chi and Katie are talking to Trevor and seeing Morris, his sister sneaks away and then just punches through a couple of walls and finds an exit. So that's Shang-Chi's sister for you. And so they escape, get into a car, which turns out to be Razor Fist's car, much to his chagrin. So they take off from Razor Fist's car and end up traveling to Talo, where they're chased by Ten Rings men, but they end up at Talo. They go through the portal, the bamboo. It's a fun scene. And then they enter Talo, where they drive through this series of caves, and then eventually they arrive at the little village of Talo. Anyway, it's kind of funny seeing the contrast of the SUV against the very ancestral, I don't want to say primitive, but like it's all tribal would be the word, of the tribal decor and housing of the people of Tala. It's very interesting to see that there. And so the people of Talo, specifically Shang-Chi's aunt, his mother's sister, train them to fight for battle. Katie trains with the bow and arrow, which, I mean, you can't really learn that in like a day or two, but they try and train her with it. Let's see. I'm really blanking on Shang-Chi's sister's name, but Shang-Chi's sister trains with the swinging dagger thing that she has. I think it's called a kunai or something. I'm definitely mispronouncing that. Not on purpose. I do not know how to pronounce things like that, so please do not get mad at me. She learns how to use, she masters that weapon, and they give them all armor and new weapons made out of a special material of dragon scales, and weapons forged out of that that are very powerful and carry a charge and can kind of charge up, kind of like the Wakandan vibranium. Anyway, it's all like an orange reddish color. Looks very cool. And Shang-Chi gets some armor made out of it. It was made for if he ever came to Talo. Anyway, it's very cool. And then they prepare for battle with the Ten Rings. The Ten Rings show up. Well, actually, before the Ten Rings show up, I'm getting all ahead of myself. Basically, the aunt explains to Shang-Chi that the voice that his father is hearing is this creature who dwells in the shadows. They don't really specify what the creature is, but it's the one who dwells in the shadows. And so the creature who dwells in the shadows is calling out to his father and using the voice of his late wife, Shang-Chi's mother, who died, using the voice to try and trick him to come and free the one in the shadows. Never really given a name, except for, like, you know, the one in the shadows, which isn't very specific at all. So the Ten Rings show up, they start waging battle, but the Shang-Chi's father flies over to the Dragon Gate, Dragon Scale barrier that is keeping the one in darkness, the shadowy, the thing in shadows. It's keeping the big, I'm just gonna call it big monster, keeping the big monster in. And he starts battering away at the gate, trying to free the big monster, thinking that it's the spirit of his wife. Shang-Chi gets over there and starts fighting with his father. They fight for control of the Ten Rings, but Shang-Chi is... Actually, originally, Shang-Chi and his father fight on the shores of Talo, and then Shang-Chi knocks his father into the water. Shang-Chi's father blasts off to Talo, or blasts off to the Dragon Scale Gates, where he starts battering away at it. Shang-Chi finds a way over. They fight for control of the Ten Rings. Shang-Chi is sent flying into the water, where he awakens this big dragon called the Great Protector underneath, and starts fighting off little, like, bat creatures that come through. That are starting to come through the Dragon Scale Gate that Shang-Chi's dad, Wenwu, is battering down. And so Wenwu keeps battering away at the gate. Shang-Chi gets back onto shore and fights his father, Wenwu. The two of them battle. It's pretty cool. I'm not doing it justice with my words at all, but it's visually very, very, very cool. When Shang-Chi has the rings, they're like a reddish gold. Not reddish. They're like a golden color. Just like they were when his mother threw them back at his father when they first met. It was a little bit of a golden thing instead of the blue of the Ten Rings when Wenwu, Shang-Chi's father, wields them. They're like a blue. And so they're kind of alternating colors, and it's very cool. Eventually, Shang-Chi gains control of all 10 rings. And Shang-Chi's father, Wenwu, sacrifices himself to the... Big Monster. Basically sacrifices himself, you can see that he's sorry, he wasn't trying to, he was just trying to save his wife, because he was deceived by the thing in the shadows that now consumes him, and it consumes his life force, I guess it consumes his life force. It's doing that to a lot of other people, mostly Ten Ring soldiers, and just kind of sucking up their souls a little bit there, some Dementor type stuff. So sucking up their souls and sucking out their life force. Shang-Chi fights back with the Great Protector. They fight. Katie fires some arrows. His Shang-Chi's sister fights too. It's a big battle. It's very cool. Lots of CGI, but CGI is amazing. Looks great. and they end up winning. And, you know, victory is theirs. And then they, we cut to Katie and Shang-Chi, revealing that Katie and Shang-Chi were telling this story to two of their friends in a bar in San Francisco, and basically telling them their story. And, you know, naturally their friends don't believe them. And then Benedict Wong, again, Strange's teammate, Strange's, non-romantic partner, pops out through a sling ring portal and, you know, calls him over to talk some Avengers business. And, you know, his friends are, suffice it to say, his friends are shocked and impressed and everything. So they go through and they talk about what's inside the Ten Rings and that there's a transmitting signal inside them. And Bruce Banner makes a cameo, and so does Captain Marvel. I'm not a big fan of Captain Marvel. Oh, or to be honest, I'm not a huge fan of Mark Ruffalo. Mark Ruffalo's Bruce Banner either, but I definitely prefer him over Captain Marvel. Anyway, so we get that little cameo, there in the post-credits scene, and they reveal that there's something inside the Ten Rings calling, like a beacon almost, calling something towards the Earth. Some people are saying this is Galactus. I don't know if it's Galactus or not. Could be. I don't think so, though. It wouldn't really make much sense. The two of them aren't really connected in any way. They can be summoning something else. Basically, to be continued, Shang-Chi 2, hopefully, whenever that comes out. Anyway, so that's the post-credit scene there. And then the second post-credit scene is Shang-Chi's sister sitting on the throne of their father of the Ten Rings. And so she now takes over the Ten Rings, just like she had started her underground fighting ring. She now takes over the Ten Rings, and now she's the leader. Razor Fist is at her side. Taser Face is not there. And so now she's leading the Ten Rings. And that's where the movie ends. I think I've said this before, but it was really darn good. Really good. It was a really good Marvel movie. It's been a while since we've had one that I came out of feeling really hopeful for the future of Marvel. And, you know, the next film that's to come out is Eternals. And I hope it's going to be good. I'm not super excited about that one, but I mean, some of the things look pretty cool. It has a lot of people in it. It's introducing a lot of new characters, and I feel like it's going to be a little bit jam-packed, but I am really looking forward to Spider-Man No Way Home and maybe the Hawkeye series. I don't know much about it yet, but we'll learn more about it later. So, but I am very excited for Spider-Man No Way Home. The Spider-Man series is one of my favorites, along with the Guardians of the Galaxy series and the Captain America series. Those are like my three favorites right there. Shang-Chi is definitely up there. It was a really good Marvel movie. It's a notch above the average Marvel movie. It's a good one. I definitely give it a... I guess we're doing rankings now, so I would give it a... or not rankings, ratings. So I would give it... I would definitely give it a solid... solid 8.5. It's a really good Marvel movie. I would definitely recommend seeing it. If you haven't, then... Well, if you haven't, then I just spoiled the entire movie for you. But still watch it anyway. I definitely would. I had a blast watching it. It was a really fun experience and visually just beautiful. And I liked the lore that we got into. There are always new things going on in the MCU with its lore and its I don't know if I want to say it like magic, but the Ten Rings have to be some kind of magic, and Talo has to be protected by some kind of magic, right? So there's some magic elements to it, and it's very interesting to see all the different kinds of magic that show up in the MCU, from the magic that Doctor Strange and other sorcerers use, to Wanda's magic, to the kind of magic that we see in Shang-Chi. So it's just a whole new field of things, introducing a whole bunch of stuff, and it was a great movie. Thank you for tuning in, everybody. Thanks for listening. I will see you next time.